I would have mentioned. I almost did. You know that famous ad, yeah? Anyway, good morning, and good morning to everyone who's tuned into the broadcast.
Good morning, Lagos. Let's start from your reaction when you saw the news yesterday.
I wasn't shocked. It was expected. I thought it was always going to be that way. Matter of fact, I think I wrote about it, you know, on Nigerian Fool's website just about a couple of weeks ago. The honest truth is that the PDP right now are in a quagmire. You know, they are in a position where it wasn't like what it used to be before 2015. Mm-hmm. Remember that before 2015, PDP was arguably the only party in the country that had national identity. Mm-hmm. You know, that you could go from Uguta in Imo State mm-hmm. to Kafanchan to Sokoto, you know, any part of the country you go to, you'll right. find the PDP. Right. Up until 2015, when, of course, a combination of opposition parties decided to get together, you know, to upstage the PDP, and they did that successfully. So, as at before 2015, you know, PDP could just about do whatever they wanted. But right now, they know that, like they said in, you know, in the leaked report that we have seen, that they're doing this because of the exigency of time. You know, they know that they're in a position where they've lost two general elections back to back, 2015 and 2019. At this point in time, it's about winning, you know. And like I've argued, as hard as that might sound, as not so pleasant as it might sound to everybody who's a southerner, I am a southerner, by the way, or rather, I'm from the southern part of Nigeria, the PDP's best chance of winning election in 2023 is to field a northerner. It's not even, I don't think it's even up for debate. I know a lot of persons would argue and say, why that way? The truth of the matter, they would say, well, the PDP has won general elections, you know, in 1999, in 2003, in 2007, and in 2011. Okay, in 2007 it was a northerner. 99, 2003, and 2011, you know, with a southern president. But remember my explanations from the very beginning. Before 2015, it was only the PDP that had that national spread. That's why they actually said, well, we would rule for the next 60 years. Remember when the PDP were making those boastful claims? Because at that time, they knew that they were the only party that had that national spread. Unfortunately for them, you could argue, unfortunately for the country, there's another party that now has a national spread. So it's no longer, we're no longer a quote-unquote one-party system where only the PDP keeps winning the presidential election. Now we have another party that has almost, if not bigger, national spread than the PDP. So they need to make all of these decisions.
Well, there's been this talk about the presidency coming to the south, especially to assuage the feelings of to be very specific, southeastern part of a country, that this will go a long way in further re-emphasizing the need for that oneness in this country. Where does that coming in here?
Sheriff, I'm all for it. Again, I'll go back to the, if you haven't read it, you can check it out on the Nigeria Info website. Just, you know, type on your search, 2023, why Obi Amaechi Oshibajo are Nigeria's best bets. It's a two-part series, so you could read it up. You know, in that piece, the very first thing I said was that, as far as I'm concerned, personally, I do not want to see another northerner as president. In fact, that's why the three persons I mentioned, the former governor of Anambra State, Peter Obi, the former governor of River State, who's the present minister of transportation, Rotimi Amaechi, and the current vice president, Yemi Oshibanjo, they are all southerners. And I gave reasons why I believe, you know, for fairness and equity, you know, it should rotate. The honest truth is that Nigeria is a multicultural society. You know, yes, zoning is not in the constitution, but you need to be able to assuage people's feelings. And if you look through our history, we became a country in 1960, October 1st. Look through the history from 1960 till now, you know, the northern part of the country has ruled the country more than the southern part. If you want me to go through history,
I mean, putting together both military civilian, putting everything together.
Everything together. Okay. From the Prime Minister, Tafawa Belewa, who ruled for about 6 years before the military struck on the 15th of January, 1966. Then we had a military head of state, the late Agun Yoruansi, who ruled for just 6 months. And then the military struck again. We had General Yakubu Gowon, who ruled for about 9 years until 1975. Another coup, the late General Murtala Mohammed came into Yakubu Gowon, Tafawa Belewa, Murtala Mohammed that I just mentioned, all of these persons are northerners. Murtala Mohammed ruled for about 6 months. There was the Dimka, is it Dimka? Can't remember the name of the person that organized that coup, you know, that killed Murtala Mohammed. Mm-hmm. General Olusegun Obasanjo, a southerner, came into the saddle. He ruled for about 3 years and handed over the presidency to a civilian government. Mm-hmm. That civilian government, you know, was also a northerner, mm-hmm, who ruled for about 4 years or 4.5 years. His administration was toppled by our current president, then a military head of state, General
Muhammadu Buhari.
He himself ruled for another 1.5 years. Another coup, General Ibrahim Badamasi Babangida took over. Badamasi now left, you know, and gave the power to a southerner, mm-hmm, who only ruled for 2 months. So I'm talking the late Shonekan, who, you know, just died just recently, I think January this year. He ruled for 2 months. Abacha took over, ruled for a few years, and then died. Handed over to, Abdulsalami Abubakar, mm-hmm, you know, took over. Before we got to 1999, that we now have, you know, civilian this government. So I've gone through this history. The names I've mentioned who have ruled the country, either by civilian rule or by, you know, plotting coups, mm-hmm, you know, have been largely more northerners. By the time we got into the Fourth Republic of Obasanjo, Obasanjo ruled for 8 years. It was supposed to go. He went actually back to the north, you know, because the founding fathers at that point in time agreed. Remember that in 1999, the PDP, ideally, if they had gone through what should have happened, Alex Ekwueme most likely would have been the PDP flag bearer. Mm. But let's also not forget that there was an election that took place in 1993. Abiola reportedly won that election. Mm. Somehow, it didn't happen. So the politicians at that point in time, and of course, the owners of Nigeria, as the journalist Adele Momodu would call them, mm, you know, the persons who sort of make these decisions, whether we want to agree or not, mm, agree that to assuage the feelings of the Southwest, you know, at that point in time, we needed the main political parties to actually bring in
to the
a flag bearer, not just to the South, mm, but to the Southwest. So the PDP brought out Olusegun Obasanjo, mm-hmm, and then the APP at that point in time, actually their flag bearer was the present Minister of Science and Technology, Ogbonnayanu, a former governor of Abia State. He was the APP flag bearer. He stood down, you know, because APP and the AD at the time merged together to produce a flag bearer. Mm. He stood down and the party gave it to Olufalai. Mm. Now, this was an internal arrangement. It wasn't documented, right, but it was an internal arrangement to assuage the feelings of the Southwest. Mm-hmm. Did that automatically assuage the feeling of the South Wales? Well, that's left for conversation. But the parties did it at the time. You come to 2023 and you would argue that in the real sense of the word, if we want to actually stop some of the agitations that are currently going on in the Southeast, mm-hmm, Nigeria is made up of a lot of societies, you know, but the three major tribes, that's what I was looking for. You know, the three major tribes in the country are Hausa, Fulani, Yoruba, and Igbo. Yes, we have other minorities, but these are the three major ones. Out of the three major ones, the Yorubas have ruled. Mm-hmm. The Hausa, Fulani have ruled. The only tribe in the major tribes we have in the country that has not tasted at least civilian power is the Igbos. They only have tasted 6 months, you know, of being head of state, which was the late Agun Yoruansi back in the 60s. So looking at it from a justice and a fairness point of view, I would argue that the major political parties should have their presidential candidate from the Southeast. Mm-hmm. To do exactly what we did in 1998, mm-hmm, 1999, mm-hmm, you know, that sort of reduced the tensions we have at the country.
Right.
But unfortunately, Sheriff, we also have politicians who have their selfish interests. The other argument would be, well, we don't just give political positions to people like that. You have to earn it. But what I would counter with that, you know, there are some persons that have suggested, some politicians have suggested, oh, wait, there's so much fighting going on in the Southeast. There's so much thuggery. There's so much killing. You know, because of that, we cannot hand over power to the Southeast. And for me, that's absolute nonsense. You know, there's absolute killings going on in the north.
Yeah.
There are lots of agitations going on in the north.
Right.
It didn't start today.
Right.
Who is the president as we speak right now? Mm. He is from the northern part of the country.
What kind of feelings do you think will be running through the minds of political gladiators from the southeast right now, knowing full well that they've done everything for the PDP? Whether for or against the party, they've always been loyal.
Well, the umbrella group of Igbos, Ohanaeze, has already put out a statement. They're disappointed. And you will feel their pain. They're actually disappointed. If there's one area of Nigeria that has almost always supported the People's Democratic Party, it is the Southeast and the South-South.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the last two elections, 2015 and 2019, they still gave their votes to the PDP.
Regardless of the odds.
Mm-hmm. You know, remember that the president famously talked about how he's for everybody and for nobody,
but then
still had a caveat where he said, he talked about 97 and 5%, you know, suggesting that I will do more for the people that voted for me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there were also calculations in 2019, you know, some of the Southeast or South-South political gladiators promised heaven and earth, you know, to the APC that they were going to help get 25%, you know, to ensure that there's more national spread. But it still didn't work, you know, to a large extent, because the Southeast and the South-South still gave a lot of their votes to the PDP. So, on that basis, you could argue that maybe the PDP are not doing what is right.
Mm.
However, Sheriff, from the larger point of view, a lot have argued, and I'm also in that school of thought, if we want to come to practical terms, what is the best way for the PDP to even have a chance? Remember that until 2015, an opposition had never won presidential election.
That's right.
You know, it was, in fact, not many people did not believe that it was going to happen. I remember back in 2014, 2015, while both of us were in Port Harcourt, you know, I kept predicting that this was going to happen. A lot of persons did not, because it had never happened in the country before, you know, where the opposition beats the ruling party. So PDP are currently in a disadvantaged position right now.
Okay.
The question would be, how will they win election if they field a Southeasterner? For example, Peter Obi or Pius Anyim, the two main gladiators from the Southeast in the PDP who have, you know, indicated interest.
Right.
Will they be able to win a presidential election? Because, see, whether we want to accept it or not, Nigerians still vote to a large extent on ethnicity.
Mm.
Nigerians still vote to a large extent on sentiment. Nigerians still vote to a large extent on, I know this person, now my brother, you know. So, one discussion we have sort of failed to bring to the limelight is the fact that the Nigeria as a country still treats the Igbo man as quote unquote a bit of an outcast.
Mm.
Since the end of the war in 1970, the Igbos in present day Nigeria still do not have that sense of belonging.
Shouldn't this be the perfect way in for the PDP?
This should
and then
be.
They can throw everything they've got behind whoever they put out there as their standard bearer for 2023 elections. But if that should be, why didn't they take it? I know that you've said that, you know, for them to even stand a chance at all in winning power in 2023, it has to be somebody with clout and everything.
Yep.
But if you put together the clout of other aspirants to support somebody from the Southeast, shouldn't that work?
It might, but you see, politicians are selfish. Almost everybody who is talking about zoning or bring it here or bring it there, they're necessarily not saying it because they like the South. That's the honest truth we should all agree on. They're saying it because of their selfish interest. In 2015, remember that one of the big issues that affected the PDP. Let's go back a little bit.
Yeah.
In 20 in 20 9/20/10, the president we had at the time, Umaru Yar'Adua, died. And when he died, his deputy, Goodluck Jonathan, took over. Now, if you go with the rotational policy that was in the PDP, President Goodluck Jonathan was not supposed to contest the 2011 election. 2011, I'm not even talking 2015. 2011, he wasn't. If we're going by the PDP arrangement, the power was supposed to go back to the north.
Right.
But at that point in time, would you ask a sitting president, you know, not to contest? You know, so it was a bit of a big dilemma for the PDP. But the agreement at that point in time was, okay, you are the sitting president. Fate has brought you here. You know what? Okay, finish the term of that was supposed to be. You are there as a part of that ticket. So finish it. And it was agreed. The agreement within the PDP at the time was that President Goodluck Jonathan would contest the 2011 election and finish the term that was supposed to be for Yar'Adua. Unfortunately, power, you know, corrupts, as they say. Well, the president, as soon as he won that election in 2011, he started already plotting, you know, to contest again for 2015. That was the beginning of the troubles for the PDP, because a lot of the northern politicians and governors who supported Jonathan in 2011, you know,
they backed out.
For them, part of the reasons they even agreed was they were already eyeing the presidency in 2015. So by the time Jonathan decided that he was going to contest in 2015, they knew they were going to lose out. So that was the part of the gang up. You notice that a lot of the PDP elements left and joined the APC. That's, it was right, part of the reasons, you know, the APC won, because ideally Goodluck Jonathan was not supposed to contest in 2015 following the alleged agreement, you know, they actually had.
I want us to take a critical look at Nationwood here.
Yep.
And equity, fairness and unity in the political space. The APC, they've from what we've seen, they've done the right thing, you know, by what we've seen, reportedly zoned their presidential ticket down to the south, and we can all see that
they don't have a choice.
And someone would have thought that, okay, the ruling party, they could have done anything they want to do because they've got the power to do it. But then they heeded the call of the south to zone their ticket to the south. Are we saying, and I'm still going back to my same question, are we saying that PDP is putting forward their hunger, their desperation to grab power ahead of fairness and equity?
So, Sheriff, the honest truth is that there's no right and wrong answer to your question. Let's start from, you know, to talk about power. Political parties exist to win power. That's the first thing. That's why they exist. It's not to answer name. The first reason why the reason you have political parties is to win power. So that's the primary reason the PDP is looking at, you know, or even the APC. They want to win power. The APC can afford to zone it to the south.
I'm going to butt in here. You know why? Because we're very close to our break. But
I will answer the fairness and equity question when we come back from the break.
Yes, please. but before we go on that break, I wanted to say that I left this out in my question, and that is, isn't this the same MO that the APC used in 2015?
What MO?
Grab power first.
Well, that's exactly my point.
So where has that led us?
Well, at the end of the day, Sheriff, the honest truth was that the only politician in 2015 that could have beaten the PDP is President Muhammadu Buhari. That's the simple answer. So there was no way the APC at that time could have put in any other person and they would have beaten Jonathan. Nobody. The only person who had the clout, who had the name to give the PDP a run for their money was Buhari. Remember that he had contested about three elections. And in 2011, he formed a new party, the CPC, without structure, without anything. But in less than 4 or 5 months, Buhari got about 11, 12 million votes without structure. And the other guys just looked at it and said, well, if we have this guy, just add a few things to him, he can win. And that's what happened in 2015.
So in other words, we're looking at grabbing power at all costs in Nigerian politics.
That's what they all exist.
And not competence. Sheriff, no fairness.
Sheriff, unfortunately, no equity. Unfortunately, that's why they exist.
Brilliant. Let's go to break now, Lagos. When we return from the break, we'll take your reaction to our conversation this morning. And we'll continue our chat with Ufoma Egbuama. Ufoma, by the way, is the head of News Nigeria, Info, Cool FM, Wazobia FM, our group of radio stations. We'll be back. Stay here. 99.3 on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can watch live on those two platforms. You can also call the studio and let us know what you think about our conversation on the PDP throwing away zoning and embracing open race for their aspirants. Ufoma Egbuama, he's here in the studio with me. He is the head of News School, Wazobia Info. Ufoma, again, thank you for obliging us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
As if you thank me. Anyways, let's open up the phone lines and hear from the people listening right now. First, WhatsApp is 0809 597 5805. If you're on Instagram, please feel free to drop your thought on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos on Instagram. Etim is joining us first on the telephone. Etim, hi, morning to you.
Morning.
Yes, please.
The party that is headbent and over desperate to grab power. They haven't grabbed the power. They have started deviating from their promises. They started failing their promises. As I said it earlier, even somebody has already said in another platform, they will sue for violating their constitution.
They will be sued.
The implosion they are expecting in APC, that is what is going to happen to them. Hmm. Article 1. He has not been traveled to U.S. apart from when Saraki back in like a baby to U.S. in 2018 because of corruption. Atiku confessed that he rigged election in Lagos, which is not a registered voter in none of the five states that he captured by federal might, with federal might in 2003. It's not a registered voter. You'll be sued for that.
Thank you, Etim. Thank you for calling. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. We lost that. Let's jump on another one. Nigeria Info, good morning. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I think I disagree with your guest there.
Yes, please.
You know, sometimes you think maybe there's somebody there in PDP that is trying to, like, give every chance to APC to win. Like that, 2015. Immediately they chose Jonathan. I knew that they were not going to do it. I just talked to a few people I could talk to because that was, and then they chose him first before they now brought in Buhari. Do you understand? So they knew. This time around.
Who chose who and who brought in Buhari?
The PDP made their choice first.
Oh, okay. Before APC.
Yeah, before APC. Okay. Yes. So okay. It was like, you know, good. It's an expo for them. Because everyone knew. If you are a politician and you know the politics, they knew that even within PDP, if they brought in Jonathan, nothing will happen for them. They were all ready to take up power. That's in the lot.
Okay.
Now, people are ready for a young, vibrant person.
Okay.
If they open up that thing and hoping that going to the north will get them anything, somebody is from the north and he's living without anything. He's living, I mean, it's going to be a bad move for them.
Okay.
If they choose somebody like Peter Obi, who has a record, and now bring in somebody from the north as his vice. That's the thing. You can't bring from the south. Who will win P2B? And then what it will require and now cause for these people from the southeast is, okay, then either they vote for APC, which most like unlikely, or they become apathy. Do you understand? So it's going to be a shot on their leg if they go anywhere outside southeast.
All right.
And then, please,
yes.
Papayos Anyim is not it. He was the secretary to the government, and he did nothing. No. He is not it at all. He is not it. It was an accident for him, that 1999, because a lot of people were not ready for politics. They believed that the army would soon come back. So they were accidental politicians at that time. We know that. Good morning.
Thank you so much.
To some extent, she has a point on the accidental politicians.
Yeah.
Remember that... Sani Abacha, the late Sani Abacha, actually wanted to succeed himself. Mm-hmm. He had gotten the five political parties we had at the time mm-hmm. to adopt him as their consensus candidate mm-hmm. before, of course, nature struck and he died. Mm-hmm. You know, so when the process was going on, yeah. you know, for the return to civilian rule, a lot of the frontline politicians just felt maybe this is the same, yeah. same of same, yeah. you know. So until elections were took place and yeah. people won, before yeah. it dawned on,
before people now, you know, started that, realizing that, that. Wait, too.
So to some extent, she might be right.
She also made mention of some permutations in there, mm. and that brings me to my next question, Ufoma. Mm. PDP right now may have hurt the heart of majority of Igbo political gladiators. It's possible that they've aired the sentiment of Igbo gladiators politics wise. How can they appeal to them?
So Sheriff, I have a theory, and as I speak, I'm currently writing that, you know, as a piece for to put on Nigerian Fools website. Again, political parties exist to win power, mm. and as hard as we might say this is, mm. PDP's best chance of getting power is to field a northerner. That's the hard truth that, you know, we might not want to agree with, but it is still, you know, the way it is. Practical terms, if you calculate the votes from the southeast mm-hmm. together, mm-hmm. one or two states. Now, there's also the allegation and the argument that a lot of the votes in some states, you know, are overbloated. Some states in the north, some states in the south. You could argue that some of the KKK states, you know, allegedly have overbloated figures. Mm. You could argue that states like Delta and Rivers in the south also have allegedly overbloated figures. Right. But let's judge based on the figures we've had, at least from 2019 and 2015. Mm. You would notice that calculate the votes from the southeast, put together two states in the north, and alone mm-hmm. would cover up those five
the voting strength of the
southeast. Mm. So in practical terms, you want to, and again, remember I said that most Nigerians still vote on sentiment.
That's right, you said that.
The average Igbo man would most likely vote for a Peter Obi if Peter Obi is on the ballot. No question. Mm-hmm. The average northerner would most likely vote for an Atiku if Atiku is on the ballot. That's not even an argument. So, at the end of the day, for me, the process I think the PDP should adopt, because, like it or lump it, Atiku Abubakar would most likely 70% chance that he will get the ticket of the PDP. You know why?
Why?
To win such elections, you need the name, you need the connection, and you need a lot of money. Mm-hmm. In case many people do not know, mm-hmm. this time 30 years ago, mm-hmm. Atiku Abubakar contested for the presidency of Nigeria. He came third behind the late M. K. Abiola and Babagana Kingibe. That's how much of connections Atiku has.
30 years ago.
30 years ago, he contested for the presidency of the then SDP. Mm. He was third. That's after, of course, Babangida had disqualified some politicians, you know. But the point I'm trying to make is this man has been in politics for a long time.
Right.
He was a former vice president. He's got that connections. Mm. And I can bet here that now that the PDP has reportedly thrown it open, he would most likely get that presidential ticket. Mm. Here's what I think he should do.
Okay.
I think he should come out to assuage the feelings of a lot of persons in the South.
Mm.
I think he should come out plainly and tell Nigerians that he would only go for one term. That's what I think he should do.
Why? Why should he do that?
Pick Peter Obi as his vice presidential candidate, just like he did in 2019.
Okay.
And if he now says, I'm going for one term. Mm-hmm. What that automatically means is that if the PDP wins and he becomes president and Peter Obi is his vice, mm-hmm. it automatically means that in 4 years' time, an Igbo man will have a great chance of becoming president. Mm-hmm. I think he's not going to stop contesting in 2023. Mm-hmm. That's the honest truth. Mm-hmm. Bukola Saraki will not stop. Mm-hmm. Bala Muhammad will not stop. Mm. These northern politicians, Tambuwal, will not stop. Mm. And PDP has given them that platform to say we're throwing it open. Mm. So as much as we want to quarrel with that decision,
right.
the practical reality is that most likely a northerner will get the ticket. Not even Yesomwike would be able to beat for all his braggadocio, he will not be able to beat an Atiku Abubakar. Trust me.
No.
That's the practical reality. Mm. So if, for example, an Atiku wins the candidacy,
right,
I would suggest to him, tell the world, tell Nigerians that I'm going for one term. Pick Peter Obi as his VP candidate.
Yeah.
That it will not assuage everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in practical terms, that will give the PDP a lot more chance.
Alrighty. I'm going to get back to the telephone now. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. So you people now see why we are number one. you have not disappointed me today.
Why are you expecting disappointment? I don't understand.
Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you, madam. You're welcome.
My take this morning. These people that have remained in politics for a long time, they have not done us well in this country.
Sadly.
And again, grab power by all means. That is not what we want in this country now. It's somebody that can fix this country. If these two parties have struggled to grab this power by all means, that means they cannot help this country. We need your new person to help this country. Thank you.
Thank you, too, for calling me. I appreciate it. Let's go to the mail line and take a call. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, good morning to you.
Yeah, Sharif, good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah, please, I want to disagree with your...
Feel free, please.
Yeah. Number one,
hmm,
I've been following politics since 1979. And Atiku was not one. He stepped down for MKO Abiola at Plateau Jos Stadium because there was a stalemate. So Atiku is a political force as far as the North is concerned.
Okay. That's exactly what I said. But go on.
He said Atiku was defeated. The correction is that Atiku was not defeated. He stepped down for MKO.
Okay.
No, that's not true. Let's leave that one. Go ahead.
Yeah, the next thing is this. I am from the East. The only way to integrate the Easterners into Nigeria is to give a Southeasterner a chance, whether from PDP or APC. Now, failure to do that,
okay,
in our heart, justifies what Nnamdi Kanu has been saying. That is the danger. Because he has been saying it that we are not welcome in Nigeria. And there is no way an Igbo man will become president of Nigeria. If I am politicians that want one Nigeria, I want to prove Nnamdi Kanu wrong by these two political parties adopting an Igbo person.
Yes.
So that the tension and the biased mind, let me tell you, 90% of Igbos, whether anybody likes it or not, believe in Nnamdi Kanu. Now, that's go apart.
Let's stop there so we can give others a chance. Let's stop there. Thank you.
Sheriff, just to make a clarification. Well, he says he's been following politics since 1979. Yeah. I was actually born a year after, in 1980. Yeah. But I also followed the 1992 elections. I was still a teenager at the time.
Yeah.
So what happened in the SDP at that point in time was that there was a first round. MK Abiola came first.
Mm-hmm.
Babagana Kingibe came second, and Atiku Abubakar, who was pushed by the Shehu Yar'Adua, that's the elder brother of our former president. He was the presidential candidate that was disqualified by Babangida at that point in time. So when he was disqualified, he pushed
Atiku,
you know, as his candidate. Atiku came third in that first round of voting, but there was no clear winner, so it went to a second round. It was at that second round that Atiku stepped down, because the agreement between the Abiola camp and the Yar'Adua camp was that, okay, we'll step down for you, and then he was supposed to have picked Atiku as his vice president.
Okay.
Unfortunately, because of politics, he went ahead and picked the person who came second, Babagana Kingibe.
All right, thank you. some people are addressing you here, and they said we should not take any calls, and that we should just continue our discussion. Hello, good morning to you. Good morning. I'm sorry, we can't hear you. We can't hear you. I'm really sorry. We need to go now. Good morning to you. That's gone as well. Let's take another one. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, country.
Yes, please.
I want to support that man at the studio there.
Yes, please.
He is very correct. If PDP zone is their presidential elections to the east, they will not win. And every one of us are clamoring for a change, a change, a change. If it should fail this time, it's only the PDP are going to fail. The whole nation are going to fail because you're complaining. Hello?
I'm with you. We're listening to you.
I support your guest. I support your guest there.
All right.
PDP should zone it and then open it up. It's not zone it. They should open it up for everybody to contest.
All right.
If it will be win, good luck to him.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your thought. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Oh, what's that? Gonna hang up now and take another one. Nigeria Info, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to you, Agat. My name is Chika.
Welcome, Chika. Welcome.
Well, let me, as far as I'm concerned, I'm neither here nor there. If they like, let it throw it open. I mean, the beauty of a democracy is for what you call all inclusive participants. Hmm. But my only concern is what your guest said, that the only way that PDP can actually come to power is through fielding northern candidates. Hmm. And I think he has actually written more in favor of Atiku. But I actually want to draw him back to 2019 election. Atiku is from the northeastern part of the country. In 2019 election, of the 6 states from the northeast, Atiku narrowly won only 2. Only 2, Adamawa State and Taraba State. The other 4 states in the northeastern part of the country, Atiku lost the 4 of them woefully. In northwestern part of the country, he couldn't even win any state in northwestern part of the country. Then come down to southeast. He was able to win the 5 states in the southeast. He won the 6 states in the south-south. So if we're projecting that if he's actually going to win based on the vote on the north, what if the scenario that plays out in 2019 plays out again? How is he actually going to win the election for PDP? Thank you.
Thank you, too.
So the simple answer to that question is President Muhammadu Buhari is not going to be in the ballot in 2023. That's the honest truth.
So he stands a better chance.
Obviously, I told you, remember, that the APC, the political parties that merged to form the APC, from the very beginning, forget the primaries they came to Lagos to do. That one was just to make it official. From the very beginning, they knew that their candidate was going to be President Muhammadu Buhari. Why? The man had contested for elections 3 times before then, and you could see his numbers. Now, well, we've seen his ruling for 7 years, and a lot of Nigerians are not happy. But pre 2015, a lot of persons believe that, you know, he could be the change. Not only that he could be the change, he had the numbers. We had seen it when he contested in 2003 under the ANPP, in 2007 under the ANPP, and then in 2011 under the party he formed, which was the CPC. It was those numbers that the other opposition parties, including Bola Ahmed Tinubu of the ACN at that point in time, that was what they saw and said, hold on a second. If we can give this guy a little bit of push in the south, there's a huge possibility he can be president. And that's what happened in 2015. The north, the vote he could pull in the north, added with the southwest and a little bit from every other place, was what gave him victory. The PDP always gets the votes from the southeast and the south-south from day immemorial. But I'm not suggesting that they should take it for granted. All I'm saying is the only reason Atiku possibly will, no other politician in Nigeria alive today, as I speak, will get the kind of votes that a President Muhammadu Buhari will get. Trust me, Sheriff, if for any reason the Constitution allows
for a third term,
I'm not saying he's going to win again, but President Muhammadu Buhari will most likely get the same number of votes or close to the same number of votes in the north. But in 2023, he's not going to be on the ballot. What that means is that any other person stands a better chance than they stood in 2019 or 2015.
Alrighty. Let's take one more call. Nigeria, Info, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I've been trying.
Oh, good to have you here, Grandma.
May God help us in this country. Hey, let me start from this. I want to use. One of the
We're having bad connection. I'm really, really sorry. She was trying to say some proverbs in Yoruba. That's what she was trying to say, but the line wouldn't let that pass through. It's 8:52. What can I do now? I have an announcement coming. Okay, let me see if I can squeeze in the.
Hello.
Yes. Good morning to you.
Sorry.
Yes, please.
Good morning.
Yes, please. Good morning.
With the analysis of the sportsman who turned the politician this morning, I believe in his school of thought, and that is the only thing that will bring PDP back to power. Aside that, I don't think there is anything they will do again. Ifeoma Agbalumo.
Says Agbalumo.
What is that?
It's so good. I've heard worse.
Ifeoma, we must go now. Ifeoma, thank you so much for coming around.
Thank you for having me.
It's very interesting. But your piece that you usually write, they are on the website, right?
Yes. I actually wrote, like I said, a two-part series of why I mentioned three persons. Peter Obi, who is my, if you ask me, I believe should be the best candidate. And I also had Rotimi Amaechi, the present minister of transport, and then the current vice president, Yemi Osinbajo. In that piece, just check it out. The title is 2023, Why Obi, Amaechi, Osinbajo are Nigeria's best bet. It's a two-part series. It's on the website. I'm also writing something, should be up on the website maybe today or tomorrow, on this zoning issue and what the PDP needs to do.
Well, some are asking for your social media handle. They'd like to follow you.
Well, I'm very active on Twitter. It's at Foskolo. Foskolo is Foskolo at Foskolo. That's my Twitter handle. Hook up.
And he's verified on Twitter, by the way.
Please give me a minute.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Sheriff Quadri across all social media platforms. Lagos, thank you for being a part of the show this morning. I'll see you tomorrow at 5 on the Morning Crossfire. Bye for now.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's